Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. I'm Rabbi Mark Wyschowski with the 12-Minute Shiur number 55, Who is Worthy to Lead Us in Prayer, Part 2. We're working from a source sheet that you can download at our website, www.frihofinstitute.org/podcast. Now, in part one of this series, back in episode 53, we trace the origins of this halakha in the Talmud and then its development up to the Tur, the great 14th century halachic code. We continue now with what's happened since that time. We're going to begin with Rabbi Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch, which is lines 3-9 on the source sheet. He writes, Shatz tzarich shehiyeh hagun. The Shaliach Tzibur, and remember that we're talking here about the Shatz Kavua, the permanent prayer leader who is often compensated for the job, the Shatz Kavua must be worthy for that position. Okay, the word hagun can be translated as, well, decent, respectable, something like that. We're going with worthy, right? So what makes one worthy? Well, he says, Sheyehe rekan me'averot, that one is free of sin. V'shelo yatza alav shem ra afilu biyalduto, that one has never suffered from a bad reputation even in their youth. V'sheyeh anav umirutze la'am, that one is humble and acceptable to the community. V'yeshlo ne'ima v'kolo arev, that one can sing sweetly, has a pleasant voice. V'ragil likrot Torah Nevi'im uchtuvim, that one is accustomed to reading the Torah, the prophets, and the writings, that is, biblical texts. Right, so far, so good, but, you know, these are all general qualities. Let's take a look at some authorities who ask what they entail specifically. And we begin with the Bayit Hadash, or the Bach, the 17th century commentary to the Tur, that starts on lines 14 and 19. He quotes a teshuvah, a responsum, of Rabbi Meir of Rothenburg back in the 13th century that addresses the question, is a person worthy to be a shaliach tzibur if he has mumim, physical blemishes, deformities, or defects, if we can use these words nowadays? The question presumably arises from a proposed analogy to biblical law, which holds that a priest, a kohen, with certain physical blemishes, is disqualified from offering sacrifices at the temple. Well, just as the Kohen was our emissary to God, so is the prayer leader, so maybe the Shatz is also disqualified for these physical reasons? Rabbi Meir answers no, decisively. Lo nifsalu b'mumim ela kohanim, only priests are disqualified on account of physical blemishes. But regarding the prayer leader, Melech Malchei Hamlachim Chafetz Lehishtamesh Bechelim Shivurim. God, unlike a human king, wishes to make use of broken implements. Why? Well, it says in Psalms, Lev Nishbal V'nitke Elohim Lo Tivzeh. God will not despise a broken and contrite heart. The idea being that one who has suffered in life, as this person certainly did, this person who we are told has lost both of his arms, that person is acquainted with the depths and challenges of the human condition and can therefore pray with true kavanah and feeling. That person, Dafka, is the one we want to represent us before God to lift our prayers up to heaven. Now remember, in those days, before printed prayer books, many individuals depended upon the Shatz to verbalize their prayers and to express prayer on their behalf. All right, but Rabbi Schneur Zalman of Liadi, the founder of the Chabad Hasidic dynasty, expresses the very opposite view in his version of the Shulchan Aruch. We're now on lines 29 and 31. He writes that we should not appoint a shaliach tzibur who has visible blemishes. The prophet Malachi, after all, chastises the people for offering blemished animals as sacrifices to God. We wouldn't give such a defective gift to an earthly ruler, right? So why should we send as our representative to God a Shatz who is similarly, well, defective? Now, of course, the analogy is problematic. The Shatz is not a sacrifice. And obviously, we today reject the Rav's halacha because we don't regard physical blemishes as defects, as something that ought to disqualify an individual from serving as a prayer leader. But in spite of that, the Rav does raise an important point. Our choice of Shatz Kavua matters. Our appointment of a prayer leader says something about our attitude toward the mitzvah of public prayer, of tefillah b'tzibur. We can agree with him that we should not be cavalier about that choice, that standards are essential, even if we don't accept his ideas about physical disability. Now, the notion that the shaliach tzibur must represent the entire tzibur, the entire community, figures prominently in our next detail from the Mishnah Brura, lines 38 through 46. The Shem Ra, that bad reputation one acquires in their youth and that disqualifies one from serving as prayer leader, he says that applies only to a new hire, but it is not enough to dismiss someone who is muchzak, who is already serving as a shatz and who enjoys a kind of tenure. But if the bad reputation concerns something that the shatz has allegedly done now, recently, and if the rumor cannot be satisfactorily addressed, then even one member of the community is empowered to object to and remove the tenured shaliach tzibur, simply because that shatz cannot serve as the agent or emissary for that dissatisfied member, and therefore not for the entire community. We're taking the idea very literally here. Now, we are talking here about rumors and reputations. What if it turns out that we have actual proof that the shatz committed a disqualifying sin, even in their youth? Not just a bad reputation, but real evidence. In that case, the shatz can be removed, fired from his tenured position, provided that he never did teshuvah, repented of wrongdoing. And this is so important for us to remember these days. We know that it's a tough call for communities who seek to hire prayer leaders, rabbis and cantors who turn out to have, let's say, issues in their past. A Shem Ra is nothing to sneeze at, but if we believe in the importance, the power, and the possibility of teshuvah, as we say we do, after all, then we have to make room for it somehow when thinking about the imperfect human beings whom we consider and who seek to fulfill this role. Now, speaking of remaining on good terms with the entire community, let's take a look at the excerpt from a long responsum of Maharam Mintz, or Rabbi Moshe Mintz, the 15th century German posek. We're in lines 51 through 67. He says, the shaliach tzibur must be careful to stay out of communal disputes that don't directly involve him. Why? Well, line 52, V'tam ha'galui u'mifulsam, ki ech yehe melit alman de la rachim le, lehit palel ba'ado. Line 60, the obvious rationale for this is, how can the Hazan, or the Shatz, be an advocate and pray for one whom he dislikes? As the Talmud puts it, the prosecutor, the kategor, cannot become a defense attorney, a sanegor. The upshot is that if you're the Shatz and you have an issue, or if we say you're broiges with any member of the community, don't let it fester. Let the rabbi or the lay leadership work it out and settle the matter so that you can then go on and do your job for everybody. The Shulchan Aruch says that the Shatz must be mirutze la'am, acceptable to the community. The 17th century Sefer Eliyahu Rabbah, a commentary on Orach Chaim, justifies this requirement with a quote from Pirkei Avot, Kol sheruach habriot nocha himenu, ruach hamakom nocha himenu. One who is pleasant to people is also pleasant to God. And not exactly saying that popularity is next to godliness, but simply that an ability to get along with people and to be a source of communal peace rather than strife is a real value. He then goes on to give two reasons for the requirement that the shatz be accustomed to reading the Torah, the prophets, and the writings. The first is a professional one. There are many biblical verses, psukim, scattered throughout our liturgy, and since biblical Hebrew can be tricky to pronounce, the shatz, like the person who wants to get to Carnegie Hall, needs to practice, practice, practice. The second reason goes to the heart of the shatz's function. As we learn in Proverbs, Mesir ozno mishmoa Torah, Gam Tefilato Toeva, one who turns a deaf ear to Torah, their prayer is also an abomination. I mean, what would we think of a Sheliach Tzibur who doesn't ever study Torah? Now, it is a truism to say that nobody's perfect, which is exactly what I said to my mother that time I broke an expensive table lamp while I was tossing a baseball around in the house. Okay, enough about me. The Shulchan Aruch also tells us that nobody's perfect. That's the more important thing. What happens if you can't find a candidate for Shaliach Tzibur who possesses all these wonderful qualities? Well, in that case, line 94, Yivcharu Hatov Sheba Tzibur, the community should choose the one who is best, that is, the one who is best available. Okay, makes sense. But note that best here, Hatov, means the best in Torah and Maasim Tovim, good deeds, and not the one who has the best voice. Spiritual and ethical virtues are more important than professional or performance virtues. Rabbi Moshe Isserles, in his gloss on this paragraph, beginning on lines 95 and 99, gives an example of this kind of choice. If you have, on the one hand, a mature but ignorant adult who is popular, Ha'am Chafetzim Bo, and whose voice is pleasant, and on the other hand, a 13-year-old whose voice is not pleasant, but who understands the language of the Siddur, the latter, that is, the pimply-faced, squeaky-voiced 13-year-old, takes precedence. Well, of course, this is what rabbis would say. But as we hear from Rabbi Shlomo Luria, the Maharshal, a contemporary of Karo and Isserles, that's not what communities always do. He tells us, beginning in line 106, that in his day, the 16th century, remember, performance virtues were taking precedence over everything else. Communities would appoint a shatz who has a good voice, even if that person is a known sinner. On this note, he quotes Megillat Eicha, the Book of Lamentations, and what he's lamenting is that he can't change this. Ein biyadi lemachot, I am powerless to stop them. Which brings us to ask, well, what about today? Has the situation changed much since the time of the Maharshal? What standards do our search committees insist upon? Do the performance virtues of our rabbis and cantors, those whose job it is to lead us in prayer, do performance virtues rank higher in our eyes than the virtues of Torah and Maasim Tovim? That's a sensitive and complex question. A question that we don't have time to address here, but that we are happy to leave in your capable hands. Discuss. And in the meantime, this has been the 12-minute shiur number 55 from the Frihof Institute of Progressive Halakha. Thanks for learning with us. Lehitraot.